BBC News with Lily Goga. The Israelis, explaining why they have launched 2 days of devastating air attacks on Gaza, say they're determined to change the realities on the ground. The foreign minister, Tzipi Livni, said the aim was to free Israeli citizens from 4 years of Palestinian rocket attacks. She said Israeli forces had targeted the headquarters of Hamas, the militant group which controls the territory.
We took Hamas by surprise. We targeted Hamas headquarters. This is the beginning of a successful operation, I hope. The idea is to change realities on the ground. So the question is not only what's going now in Gaza Strip, but how we are going to change the future of the citizens of Israel.
In one of the latest raids, Israeli planes bombed the Islamic University in Gaza, a significant Hamas cultural symbol. Palestinian estimates suggest that almost 300 people have been killed so far. Thousands of angry demonstrators have been taking to the streets in a number of Middle Eastern cities to show support for the Palestinians. Some protesters, notably in Egypt, also called on their governments to take a tougher stand against Israel. At an official level, Egypt led the Arab world in condemnation of the bombardment in Gaza by summoning the Israeli ambassador to demand an end to the attacks. Rescuers in northwestern Pakistan have been working into the night searching for people who may still be trapped under rubble after a car bomb explosion destroyed a polling station and a nearby school. It happened during a parliamentary by-election in Bunar district and killed at least 33 people. Ambarasan Etirajan reports.
Officials said a suicide bomber stopped his explosives-laden car outside the polling station, asked local people to help push it, then immediately detonated the explosion. The blast was so powerful that the polling station and a nearby school collapsed. Large numbers of people, including school children, were trapped under the rubble. Rescuers and local residents have worked frantically to locate survivors. A spokesman for the Pakistani militant group Tehreek-e-Taliban SWAT said it had carried out the attack in retaliation for an earlier attack on its fighters by a local government-backed militia.
A court in Iraq has brought a new series of charges against more than 20 members of the former government of Saddam Hussein, accusing them of crimes against humanity. The best-known defendants are the former Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz and Ali Hassan al-Majid. Caroline Wyatt reports from Baghdad.
Tariq Aziz, once the urbane, cigar-smoking public face of Saddam Hussein's government, and Ali Hassan al-Majid, known as Chemical Ali, are charged with persecuting political opponents during the Ba'ath Party's long rule in Iraq. The new charges centre on the arrest of up to 200,000 members of Iraq's political parties. Ali Hassan al-Majid has already been sentenced to death, twice, and is being tried on separate charges over the gas attack in Halabja that killed some 5,000 Iraqi Kurds in 1988.
World News from the BBC. Coast guards in India's Andaman and Nicobar Islands are also searching for hundreds of illegal migrants who are missing after they jump from a drifting boat and try to swim ashore. A police official said one body had been found and more than 100 people rescued. A survivor told police that over 400 people had been on the boat trying to reach Malaysia. Many of the missing are feared to have been drowned. The migrants are thought to be from Bangladesh and Burma. Belgium's later political crisis is a step closer to being resolved. The Speaker of the Lower House of Parliament, Herman Van Rompuy, has accepted a request by King Albert to try and form a new government. Mr. Van Rompuy, a Flemish Christian Democrat, is expected to maintain the existing five-party coalition of the outgoing Prime Minister Yves Leterme, whose government quit earlier this month over a bank scandal. Election officials in Ghana have begun counting votes in the closely fought presidential runoff poll. The choice for president has been between Nana Akufo-Addo of the governing party and the opposition candidate John Atta Mills, after neither managed to win outright in the first round. Will Ross is in the capital, Accra.
Rumours of rigging and attempts at rigging throughout the day, but many of those rumours proved to be false alarms. Suspicions have been extremely high since the first round of this election, and the two candidates, Nana Akufo-Addo of the governing party and John Atta Mills of the opposition, are very closely matched. The first round, just 1% separated them. And within the next 48 hours, we should find out who's headed for Ghana's recently built multi-million dollar presidential palace.
The president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, says his government will take back a number of mining concessions granted to private companies in an effort to supplement falling oil revenues. He did not say which concessions would be affected. The Venezuelan mining minister, Rodolfo Sanz, said earlier this year the government intended to take over the country's largest gold mine, Las Cristinas. BBC.